Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Welcome back to this Mountain West Connection show. Bowl season here, folks. MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection on Facebook, you know it on Twitter, MWC Connection, all that fun stuff. We're going bowling this weekend. We got four games.
Hey, did you know we're back after like 10 days?
We're back. That's Chris Andres. I'm Jeremy Moss hanging out on a – if you are fortunate enough to listen to us live or on YouTube at the moment or Google Plus, we'll convert it to SoundCloud later tonight. But, yes, it's been a couple – been about a week and a half. Took a little break, or somewhat of a break, at least a break from podcasting. But football's ramping up again with – we got four games on Saturday. We're going to discuss two games tonight, Tuesday, two games on Wednesday. We have a couple guests sprinkled in. But, yeah, we will – it's bowl season, which is good and not good, right? Because it means it's over, but we have a lot of interesting games.
Right. So we basically have a lot to talk about.
So what we're going to talk about tonight, first of all, before we get to the bowl games, because we are going to have Alex Nichols from Minor Rush to talk about the – New Mexico Bowl versus Utah State. And then we'll also discuss the New Orleans Bowl with Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. Possible last-second guess TBD versus Nevada. So we'll see how that works out. But coaching! Have we discussed the Tony Sanchez hire officially on the podcast?
Yes, we have. Oh, no, officially? No, we have not.
No, I don't think so because we discussed Sunday night. No, yeah, he got hired midweek. So for those under a rock, Tony Sanchez is the head coach of UNLV. Apparently, he was the only finalist for UNLV, which is kind of odd, I guess. Maybe, maybe not. But well, I know a lot of people like to hire. What are your thoughts on bringing in everybody knows my opinion, should, about bringing in a high school coach to coach a FBS program. But what do you think of the – not the extracurricular stuff, but actual on-the-field stuff he might bring?
You know, it's super – it's not super risky. I mean, Vegas, UNLV can't go any lower. However, I will tell you what the good news is. Sanchez may have just been hired as a coach, and he may be a high school coach, but he's bringing a lot of experience in with it.
Yeah, before
he's
we
got
get
the Nebraska offensive line coordinator coordinators.
Yes.
He's got they're retaining Cedric Cormier, who was the Rebels wide receivers coach.
And big-time recruiting, brought in Tim Cornette and Devontae Davis. So that, as I wrote earlier today, that's you got to keep that guy with the way Devontae Boyd, Marcus Sullivan, was he even there when Ryan Wolf was in town? Not sure, but he's been there. The receivers have not – they've they've been an area of the best position for the past couple years.
Yeah. Sanchez is bringing on his quarterback's coach, Ron Odell. This is the guy who was coaching Anu Solomon. That's Arizona's Anu Solomon, who Boise State will be facing in the Fiesta Bowl, as well as Brodus Colmar, who is Snoop Dogg's son, who is looking at some pretty big recruits right now, too.
And you're missing the biggest name, Aaron Rodgers.
Right, I forgot Aaron Rodgers.
And he does have college experience. It's been a while, but he was the quarterback's coach in the early 2000s at Illinois. Because he mentioned, I watched a press conference. He mentioned he's going to surround himself with the collegiate staff, and he's doing well. Like I said, it's John Garrison, who's the offensive line coach in Nebraska, who's going to keep the same position at UNLV. Barney Cotton is the offensive coordinator. They will both come over after Nebraska plays in the Holiday Bowl, I want to say. They got to get recruiting in line, but they'll have a few guys on staff to fill that void. But it's a pretty good hire. Nebraska, they've won nine games the past couple of years. Yeah, they got rid of.
They got rid of somebody. I'm guessing Bo Pelini. He's going to say Bo Pelini? Well, they got rid of somebody. I'm assuming Jeremy said Bo Pelini. But, while he's off and while I'm on here, I'm just going to go ahead and continue because here's the reason. We were concerned that, Sanchez, not a football coach, but the amount of coordinators that he has brought in has been absolutely spectacular. And especially they feel like they've been steal hires for UNLV. They're making all the right moves, and they're making all the, pulling out all the right stops, and probably for a good price for UNLV as well. So, Jeremy's a little bit mute, so I'm just going to keep on talking. So, yeah, that's all on the offensive side. On the defensive side, we still don't know yet. We know that the coaches are going to make an outside hire, which is probably for the better because UNLV can't get any worse on defense, especially within the conference that they were at. And so, that's that. Now, in the meantime, while Jeremy is trying to get back on, I found out something really cool about the Las Vegas Bowl today. So, some of you know, I do have credentials, and I'll probably be at that game. But, we got some, and I'm going based off commentator DB Hammer's facts about the Las Vegas Bowl. So, payout is $1 million. If I am correct in thinking that, that's a gross $1 million. Fresno lost to USC last year. We know that, and it was a blowout. But Boise had been the previous 3 years. But the big name is Colorado State has appeared one time, and Utah has played four times in this game. So these are not brand new teams to the Las Vegas Bowl. Both have made appearances before. And, there's a whole bunch of things going on with this bowl game. However, that's not the only bowl game that we have on Saturday, and that's not the only bowl game that we're going to be podcasting about tonight. Because we're not going to be podcasting about the Vegas Bowl. That will be tomorrow night's podcast. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the New Orleans Bowl. And that's going to be the great matchup between Nevada and Louisiana Lafayette.
That was me.
What?
I'm back. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do hear you.
That was odd. I didn't mute myself, but I could still hear everything. So I assume you discussed about I heard you talk about Sanchez and bringing in the Nebraska guys and all that type of stuff.
Sure, yes.
And
yes.
Aaron Rodgers. Did you hear? I think the last thing you heard was Aaron Rodgers. Does that sound about right?
I did hear Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All I wanted to add is that you said the risk and reward about Sanchez. He only has $1,000 per year plus incentives. So the one thing I don't like when people say, I'm pretty sure you didn't mention this part, but a lot of the guys on the website are like, well, if they don't do fine, they'll get facility upgrades and help the next coach. Why do you want to help the next coach? You know what I mean? Help the coach you have right now. Because people are saying about the – if you said anything about the Furtado, about that guy and the – that what he's been doing for the university.
Yeah.
No, but what I think the part I got cut off on, I do want to mention this, but I was watching a full press conference, and there were multiple questions asking about if he's going to commit to more money, to more this, more that, because he has the tennis facility, and did his kid go to Bishop Gorman as well?
Yeah.
So the AD, what is her name? Tina, what's her name? The UNLV AD, she has three names.
Yeah, she's slipping my mind right now.
Tina, yeah.
How about we just call her the UNLV AD right now?
Yeah. Tina Kunzer Murphy basically stopped the press conference and said, it's disrespectful. I'm going to answer this way. Basically saying it's disrespectful for everybody to ask to consider one family, or just kind of asking, was there any promise for commitment to the football program from the Furtado family itself? And she has a good point, because there's like three or four questions about that specifically. And I give credit to Tony Sanchez, says he's like, yeah, I know. Like, he's like, well, he kind of knows the familiarity with the family clearly, but he made it clear where it's not just one family. It can't just be them. It has to be everybody, which they made it sound great, but she's like, this is not what this is about. That's very disrespectful. And it's true. So I just wanted to make sure people were that, because there's always people saying, oh, the money will start flowing in. They'll rebuild Sam Boyd or have the new stadium. Practice facilities will increase. And even if it doesn't work out for Sanchez, the next coach will have all this great stuff to work with. That's not a guarantee by any stretch. So that's why I kind of wanted to bring that up as well. And we're going to get to the – actually, we have our guy Alex ready just a moment. I'm going to invite him. Let's discuss before – as we bring him on, let's Colorado State. They need a new coach as well, right? You aware of that? It's not just UNLV? I guess Pat Forty earlier today mentioned a few names. And one of the names – because we know Baldwin's going to be in there, the OC right now. He's the interim coach. But then there's also – he mentioned Scott Frost from Oregon, and a lot of people saying, ooh, Oregon, that's the right hire. That's what we need to bring in. But I'm not so sure if that's the best case they need to do.
No. I also like the idea of Pat Narduzzi joining.
That sounds great. I would love to have him from Michigan State defensive coordinator.
Absolutely. The thing is, that might affect Colorado State's offense or offensively-minded team right now.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's the thing, because Baldwin, he's been great. I think Baldwin should be the head coach. But if it's Narduzzi, that would be great. If it's the current defensive coordinator for Colorado State, that would be great, because both guys have kind of said, if either of us get the job, we'll keep you on staff and keep as much as possible. Because, look, Rashard Higgins was just named AP All-American today, USA Today All-American. They got D. Hart. Their left tackle is really good. Even though they're losing Garrett Greason, Jim McElwain brought in some good quarterbacks. They have talent there, and so it's going to be – like, it's not a dream job like their athletic director said, but it's a job where they're going to be competitive and win the Mountain West next year.
Yeah.
One thing about Scott Frost, people know, oh, he's from Oregon. He'll do all this. He'll do all that. But you know whose offense it is at Oregon? It's not Scott Frost's offense.
No, it's Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah, Chip Kelly. It's not even – Mark Helfrich, his offense. It is Chip Kelly. Most people know Scott Frost. He's the best All-American. Ran the triple option, wishbone, single T back there under Tom Osborne. Not saying it would be a bad hire. He's running it. So I don't think he's calling the plays at Oregon. He would be – I think he'd be a good fit to come in possibly, but he shouldn't be the top number one candidate overall, because he's out of school that's good, running the good offense, but it's we don't know – really what his offensive philosophy is.
Right. So, one last question before we have our UTEP guy on. So, I have Vegas Bowl creds.
Oh, yes, and we do have that.
Mus Burger is announcing the game.
It's an ABC crew, man. Oh, Mus Burger. Wait, this isn't an SEC game.
This is an SEC game. It's the ABC crew. Mus Burger is announcing. Do I go take pictures with him?
Do what you can, definitely. Go talk to him, chat about him, ask him who he's taking to the game. Because, that will come up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to get to that game tomorrow. You're probably not going to be on, but I believe I have our – Alex, are you with us? I believe you're in. Is that correct?
Yeah, man, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. We have Alex Nichols from MinorRush.com to talk about the New Mexico Bowl. So, first off, are you going to be at the game?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's going to be a crazy 5-hour energy-induced 48 hours, pretty much whole weekend for Minor Rush, because we got the big Arizona UTEP basketball game on Friday night, which is at 9 o'clock Mountain time. We'll probably get home, done with post game and all that around 12:31, get up around 6, head up to Albuquerque for a 12 o'clock kickoff there. And not only that, but after we get back Saturday, Sunday, Monday is the Sun Bowl tournament. So, yeah, man, we got a busy weekend ahead at Minor Rush, man. But really looking forward to it. Y'all know how fun this is, man.
That sounds awesome, man. Basketball game one day, bowl game next day, basketball tournament the next couple days after, because the Sun Bowl's obviously at the Sun Bowl and UTEP there. It's that's crazy. So about UTEP, we're reasonably familiar with the Miners. They played New Mexico earlier this year. And let's just get a big picture. We don't need to go like super in depth. We'll talk about a few guys like Jamil Showers and stuff like that, especially the running game with Aaron Jones. But what's the big thing the first thing they'll notice about UTEP football, what's the first thing they should know against Utah State?
The first thing that's kind of becoming a pillar of whatever you want to call it, pillar of success for the program, is just the way these guys play. I mean, they play so hard. There's just a different attitude with this team mentally that parlays into what Cougar wants to be, which is a physical monster. And I think that's just one thing that watching Mike Price teams compared to watching Cougar's team, I mean, these guys are just mentally ready. They play for each other. You know, it's really – I wrote so much about it on Minor Rush that it's not – yeah, I can break down X's and O's and go that route, but really it's just kind of the mentality that this team has taken on, which is kind of their headman's mentality. So, I mean, really that's the first thing that you're going to notice. This team is not going to really beat themselves. This team is going to come out. They're going to hit you in the mouth. They're going to be physical. We may not have, you know, the deepest depth chart options out there, but these – you know, the front – 11 to 15 guys on either side of the ball are just going to play their ass off, basically. And that's really kind of been the difference, especially in the style that Cougar wants to play. I mean, you got to be able to smack somebody. You got to be able to have that kind of attitude that I'm going to kick your ass before this ball is snapped. And that's really what we're seeing. It's just an attitude. It's just really it's all mental, which parlays into the physicality of, like you said, guys like Jamil Showers that can really create problems with the defense with the run read, the pass read or pass run option that UTEP runs. And then guys like Aaron Jones, that's just really the most complete back in the Conference USA. And then go down the line of running backs with a bruiser like, you know, Josh Bell and the other bruiser like Nathan Jeffrey. And then you're going on the defensive side with just the aggressiveness of so many guys in that scheme that have made plays. I think there's 12 different players that at least have one sack. And those 12 different players, you'll see them, you know, in any given package in any situation. So, I mean, it just starts with that mentality that just kind of trickles down and gives this team confidence to be what it wants to be. And that's just a physical bully. And from what it seems like, it sucks that I haven't seen Utah State. I saw them early in the year against BYU, which is my memory ain't that great. But, you know, that's a physical bully too. So, I mean, it's really this game to me is kind of a clash of two of a program that's already there in Utah State and a program like UTEP that wants to be there. And we've seen that so many times with UTEP, with the Rices, the Kansas States, Middle Tennessees. And this is another test to kind of emulate a program like Utah State. So, I mean, this game has a lot more on it, I think, when you're talking inside that locker room, as far as just bringing home a pottery trophy or whatever they give out over there.
So, I mean – man, that was an awesome answer. It makes me really ashamed to like even ask a second question. But you talked about a little bit. You talked about a little bit earlier on what UTEP does, what the Miners do well on offense. You want to expand on that? Is there some particular threat that I mean, this Utah State team is really stout defense, really stout front seven. Is there something that UTEP does really well on offense that they're just going to give this Utah State defense for a ride?
I mean, there's two things. I think the number one thing, like I was talking about, the little read option where they kind of send a guy, you know, in motion laterally. And, you know, really that's kind of something that was implemented. I want to say after the sixth game when they got rolled by La Tech, that was really something that kind of brought just a diverse, you know, kind of wrinkle and kind of kept defenses on their heels. That's for one. And the second one is just when that offensive line is able to blow the other front seven off the line and you got receivers blocking on the outside. I mean, as simple as it is, we're, you know, I'm playing football in seventh grade, that simple 32 dive, 24 counter, that those are UTEP's, you know, money plays, really. It's nothing real simple. I mean, it's nothing real complex, really. I mean, it really isn't. It's just about that offensive line really getting after it. But the big wrinkle, which really I've seen a lot of defenses, really sound defenses. When I talk about sound defenses, like a Middle Tennessee that really doesn't beat themselves. I can even, you know, even though they had a good year, but a team like UTSA in the Conference USA that has a, you know, a respectable defense, that just really, it just throws you off. You don't really expect that. You're used to UTEP kind of coming out and pounding, just two back set, turn around, give it, you know, offensive line, get that push. But that run read option is really going, I feel, is key that UTEP has to execute it. And Jameel Showers does a hell of a job in that decision making. He's kind of built for that. UTEP's kind of a pro style offense in a sense, but it, you know, Cougar said it, he's not going to let things just kind of go sour. Turning around and handing the ball off just wasn't working. So that kind of wrinkle has been a plus. And I mean, it's something that I feel that UTEP has to execute, because like you said, as stout as Utah State, they're not just going to turn around and pound it on them 40 times and expect to get 250 out of that, you know, and run it 7 yards a clip. That ain't going to happen against Utah State. So that diversity, you know, not only with the run pass, not only with the run in that option, but UTEP's got to be able to execute off the pass. That's something that, you know, it just hasn't been there for UTEP. There's no other way to explain it. The pass game hasn't been there. So if Utah State can shut that run game down and they can stay disciplined in that, that's their key in this game.
Jeremy, you still there?
Yeah. Jeremy? Yeah.
Did we lose Jeremy again?
I see his head right here.
All right, Alex. I guess I'll continue with the reins here. So one thing that Utah State has on offense, if they're able to utilize, is they have Kent Myers, who actually is their fourth string quarterback, who has performed extremely well this whole season. But on top of Kent Myers, who has become somewhat of a little bit of a Chucky Keaton part two to this story, he's really supported by his two guys, Hunter Sharp and
Natson,
JoJo Natson. Hey, I hear it. And so what does the UTEP defense, that you talked about them being an extremely smash mouth defense, going after the ball no matter what it takes to just force it out, Is that the approach that they're going to take with Utah, especially since you do have a mobile quarterback who will scramble when needed?
I mean, they've done it, but just like you're saying, I don't think they can afford to just pin their ear backs and really just kind of go. You know, I don't see that happening, because like you said, I wish I had some film of Natson and Sharp, but looking at their stats, I mean, those are guys that really, really scare me. I mean, looking at it today, putting together a little write-up that I'm working on for the game, I mean, those guys are really, really scary, and UTEP just can't come out and be aggressive like that. I really don't think they have, but the one plus side of that is Scott Stoker. I mean, this guy is one of the most underrated assistants. You know, if UTEP was 8-4 last year and 7-5 and had the defensive improvements, I'm thinking, you know, he may be getting, you know, a call, maybe even a look for a coordinator job at, let's just say, Kansas, some type of school like that, maybe even a head coaching job. I mean, the guy has really, really been kind of the catalyst. You could talk about the kids and give the kids credit, but what Scott Stoker has done on the play calling in certain games this year, he's just really taken over. And I think that's kind of the big key. Like I said, I'm my personal opinion, I don't think they can be as aggressive as they've been most of the season. They're going to have to kind of fill it out and see how they exactly use a guy like Natson, who I think he's second on their team in rushing. You know, that's ridiculous. And you got a guy like the other receiver, Parker. I don't know, he has like four touchdown receptions over 70 yards. I mean, that's ridiculous. And UTEP's had trouble defending the deep ball. So that's – you're going to have to be very, very smart and not just kind of go with that aggressive approach. Of course, it's going to be there, but it's got to be smart. The key for me that I'm looking at on the defense is really on first and second down, looking at Utah State's third down numbers when they lose, or 21%. You know, UTEP kind of hangs their hat on really wreaking that havoc with the blitz and kind of, you know, just throwing the kitchen sink at you on the first and second down. So that way you're in a third and long, and UTEP doesn't have to do really nothing special on third down. So, I mean, that's really, you're going to look at any battle. That's really going to be a key battle as far as X's and O's and the chess matches. When does Scott Stoker bring that pressure? Because you got those athletes that you send somebody across, you send a linebacker or a safety up, and then you run Natson across the middle. I mean, that's daylight. I don't, you know, as much of respect I do have for the UTEP defense, you get that guy in space in the middle of the field with the UTEP defense, you chuck that up to six most of the time. So that's going to be a really, really key matchup that, you know, it's just looking at it right now. You know, I don't know what I would do if I'm Scott Stoker with those two cats.
All right, I think I'm back. You guys got me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Second time, I'm in here. I hear everything looking good. My volume meter goes dead. So what I was going to ask about, you kind of, again, like what I was going to say last time, you pretty much answered the question I was going to. But with, like, so Utah State offense, Natson, even Hunter Sharp, one thing I noticed with Kent Myers, the QB, and maybe it's just me being too critical, he doesn't throw deep. But, like, as you mentioned, Alex, the underneath stuff, you see Natson or see even if it's anybody else, Sharp, or any goes underneath for those quick screen passes. That's what he did versus Wyoming. He'll get like a jet sweep and be gone for 75 yards. He'll do a bubble screen and be gone. And so I think you're right. If you're too aggressive, you could just get beat somehow. And what I was wondering, like with defensively, there has to be a way, in my opinion, the UTEP defense, like you said, their coordinators could be looking to get somewhere else possibly. How do you think they would handle if they would be able to, maybe this is I'm going way too long in a question here, I know. I'm thinking the right thing at the right time, but like how would they go about best way, like the linebackers, like keeping everybody in front of them? Because we know they're not going to go deep very often because Hunter Sharp, his production has dropped off quite a bit since the quarterback changes. So what would UTEP do to like keep everybody in front? Like don't allow those quick slants, a bump and run. What do you think they would try to do to stop, specifically Nats, and getting those big plays off a two-yard pass?
What they've done really during the season, and I don't even know if you can call this a second-half adjustment or any type of coaching adjustment or schematic adjustment, but it's really just been that front four for UTEP getting after it. I've seen games, the Old Dominion game is a game that jumps out to me. The UTSA game is a game that jumps out to me. The North Texas game is a game that got out to me where you have those type of athletes or that type of offense where they have those multiple attacks where they can come at you. And really, instead of risking bringing your linebackers up, I'm thinking Stoker's just telling these front four, you guys need to get, you know, put your big boy pants on and get after it. And they have. They're very undersized. You know, you're talking about a defensive end in Nick Usher that goes about 6'3", 240, maybe even 230. I think he's listed as 230. Ward Robertson Harris is a guy on the outside. He has pretty good size, 6'7", 255, very, very fast. And you look in the middle, UTEP, they're not really that big and athletic. They're big, but they're athletic, but they're not big. So really, it's those guys kind of just getting after in that front four because UTEP runs that 4-2-5 where they're sending kind of an extra safety in there most of the time. You really can't afford to blitz those linebackers. So I think really the key is that front four being able to, you know, to create some type of pushback, or not only a pushback, but to get to Myers and kind of frustrate him and turn him into a runner. And that's really kind of where I feel that has to be. And that's really tough to say for any front four. But, you know, UTEP's front four, like I said, they've done it a couple of times this year where it's not really an adjustment. It's just guys getting after it. You know, two seniors that, you know, you asked me before the season if these guys are going to get playing time, I'm probably saying no. But Maurice Chavis and Cooper Brock have been just huge guys. And Chavis is a defensive tackle. He's about, I'd say, barely tipping 6 foot, maybe 270, 280. Then you have Cooper Brock, who's 6'3", 240. Guy does not have a speck of – doesn't look like he has a speck of athletic ability. But the guys just get after it. And that's really been the key, is just that front four. So if they can create something, that'll kind of alleviate that pressure where they're having to have to send – two or three safeties and, you know, send some linebackers. But one thing, too, also, UTEP, when you're looking at their defense, they'll have a safety. It's either going to be 21, no, I'm just chancing this out, it's going to be 27, Devin Cocker, or 22, Jamil Irving. Those guys also will come up kind of to maybe even throw off the defense a little bit, thinking they're going to blitz, and then they'll drop back and kind of be in a spy looking for a quarterback run or, you know, whatever their key is. But it's really going back to the question, is just kind of that front four has to be on point. They have to be able to get pressure because, yeah, I mean, just like you said, guys like Natson, you bring linebackers, those bubble screens, you know, you're going to have a one-on-two And, you know, like I said, as much respect as I have for UTEP, you know, I would take that one-on-two matchup with Natson with one of our defensive backs in open space. You know, that we're just not at that point yet to say, oh, that's we'll bring it down. We're not that great of a tackling team is basically what I'm trying to say. But it's got to be that front four. Them boys have to get after. They got to get pressure. And we can't really rely on being blitz heavy. Like you said, we're going to be vulnerable.
Excellent. This is some great stuff we're getting right here.
Yes, excellent.
Absolutely fantastic. So you guys are going to the game on that Saturday, correct? Are you going to be at any of the events earlier in the week?
Nah, man, because we got that basketball game on Friday. If we didn't have that big basketball game on Friday with Arizona, we probably would split it. One of us would probably go. But that Arizona game, I mean, I bought tickets for a bunch of my friends and family. I mean, that's really kind of the big deal. You know, as much as you know, football is a moneymaker, it ain't no denying UTEP's a basketball school. And, you know, that's kind of where, you know, that type of game. Now, if it was the Southeastern Oklahoma that we played tonight, I may be coming, like, on a Thursday or Friday.
Of course, you have to. It's Southeast Oklahoma.
Yeah, so, Arizona number three.
One of the things I was going to ask you was, and if I remember correctly, every single team – so one of the things that the New Mexico Bowl does every single year is they have a chili cook-off between the two teams every single year. And I can't remember off the top of my head. I have to look this up somewhere. If that trend was broken, and the trend is whoever wins the chili cook-off loses the bowl game. Now, you guys down there in UTEP, I can imagine y'all make some pretty damn good chili down there.
Yeah, there's some grandmas that could probably get down.
And so my question to you is this:
do you throw it?
Do you throw it? No, not that. UTEP players, they win the chili cook-off. Are they going to win the game and break that trend?
No, that's probably the toughest question I've been on any podcast.
You know, it's what we do.
I got no answer to that. You know, I mean, you know what? I'm going to go this route. These seniors, they want to win so bad, they'll do it. I've seen this team.
They're going to win everything. They're going to win the cook-off. They're going to win the game. It's going to be everything.
Kubler is such a competitive guy. He's drilled that competitiveness in these seniors. I wouldn't put it past me that you see a tongue sticking out or eyebrow raised once they're making chili. That's how much these guys want it. So that's what I'm going to go with. I think, like I said, it's just a mentality here at UTEP. It's just a different mentality. You win everything. You win practice. You win the field room.
So one question. Are you going as – just a fan? Or are you going? Did you get into the game? How are you getting? Like, what's your process of game day?
We'll be credentialed. We'll be live tweeting from our live feed. We'll also be updating on Facebook and keeping up with the comment thread. But we'll be credited. We're credited through UTEP, so every game you guys see us at, we're credited. And you know, just trying to bring, you know, as professional information as we can through SB Nation, and kind of give us you know, just SB Nation. Even though, you know, obviously nobody really goes to SB Nation to follow UTEP unless you're going to UTEP, but just to give SB Nation a presence out of school, and that's how we roll pretty much every game. We do go as credentialed every game.
Okay, just making sure, because we have our New Mexico guy going down there, so we're secure.
He's gonna be credentialed.
Yeah, he goes to the New Mexico games. He started partway through the year, so he will be doing some stuff down there. Just whatever bowl stuff goes on, so we'll have one guy down there too. That's curious, because some people go just for the heck of it, that fun as a fan, or you go like you're going. I've done the same thing. Go get some free food and hang out and whatever. But just, you never know. People say, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to go be as a fan and just tear it up and have so much fun and enjoy the game. But you can do both. You just got to abide by the rules inside. That's about it.
It's harder to work as a credentialed member of the media when you're a fan of any one of these teams. I've gone to so many games credentialed now, and it's hard to keep like my fandom inside.
I got that. I'm gonna have that problem Friday. I know. It's funny because when me and Anthony sit together at the basketball games, I know we react so much. You know, we look at each other. You know, but yeah, I feel you, man. There's been so many games where it's like we're about to yell, and it's like, oh shit, hold on.
basketball. Yeah. You can get away with it in basketball because you're usually on the row, a lot of noise going on, and there's fans to hear you. Football, not as much.
Yeah. It was funny because there was the last game that UTEP played at home was Middle Tennessee, and that was a wild final minute. And there was some people from the minor athletic club in there, and they were sitting next to me and they were cheering. I was like, oh, please don't come here and think I'm cheering. Please don't come here and think I'm cheering, you know, because I was cursing myself because of what was going on in the game. But I mean, yeah. These guys were going crazy, and I was just like, oh damn, here goes that revoked
we're gonna
get. Yeah, so. Yeah, it is tough, man. That is one thing. Especially when we played at New Mexico. No, not even. When we played at UTSA this year. Oh, my God. I was so nervous for that game. I don't know how I controlled myself. We broke that first pass. It was like a 50-yard pass. And, I mean, we hadn't broke a 50-yard pass like that in meaningful game time. And, I mean, that was one game where it was kind of like, oh, man, if I say something. But that was probably the closest I've been in football just because of the rivalry that we built with UTSA.
So, all right. So go ahead. Hey, were you going to ask?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Because I was going to go for a final score.
So yeah. Was I. So go ahead with that. You take it.
All right. So final score predictions. What's going to be the final outcome of this game?
You know, usually I don't pull that up until Wednesday or Thursday. I don't think about it, but I got y'all. You know, I think UTEP will come out. And they're going to fight. Like the first question I asked me, they're going to come out and fight. I was even kind of hinting at it today that I think UTEP will get an early defensive touchdown. But I think it's just going to be hard to move that ball on Utah State once we get in that second half. And, you know, I think Utah State will be able to kind of dictate the line of scrimmage just a little bit. You know, I haven't really got a good look at the running backs, but I really think it's a game where
you don't need to worry about that too much.
Yeah, you see, that's one I know more about Nats and the other receiver, but I really think that this is a game that Utah State will – UTEP will be playing from behind most of the game after Utah State grabs the lead. But I'm going to go Utah State 27, UTEP 14. I just think UTEP offense, like I said, it just there's got a lot of things have to happen for them to be able to put up points consistently against Utah State. I guess we can say that anything can happen in the Mexico Bowl, right?
Look at last year, man. The Indian versus Colorado State, Washington State. Mike Leach doesn't know how to control the clock, Statue of Liberty to tie it. I think it could be a little bit closer because I think Utah State is going to win. But I'm just thinking, like, the running game's so poor for Utah State. If UTEP can, like, say, get a defensive touchdown, or the offense hasn't been great for the Aggies. When they played Wyoming, they had one offensive touchdown, even though they won 20-7, I think. So if they could somehow don't let Natson or anybody get those big 50 or Ronald Butler get a 60-yard play, and they force – if they put – they'll put Zach Vigil, the running back, get the linebacker – or the linebacker at running back. So I'm thinking if UTEP can slow that down a bit, it'll be a close game. But I still think UTEP might need, like I said, a few extra things – to go their way.
And I'm doing a little four keys, and I always usually do that every week, pulling out everything the bowl week, as y'all know, to get content. But one of the things that I'm harping on is the special teams play. That's where I really feel that UTEP or Utah State can change that momentum with a big block kick, or, you know, let's just say a field position. If UTEP's, you know, or somebody's down and somebody needs a score, and all of a sudden a punter pins somebody inside the 10, I think those are the little things in this game. Because both teams pride themselves on defense, kind of taking care of the football. So, really, when you look at those games, it kind of comes down to, okay, well, what's going to happen on special teams? So, that's another angle, too. And I feel like a guy like Natson, where UTEP has been kind of iffy. Out of necessity, they put their best athletes. You're going to see Aaron Jones out there on punt coverage team. So, but, yeah, man, I mean, this is going to be a crazy game. I mean, that prediction, I'll probably change that prediction later in the week. But, yeah, like I said, I just feel like UTEP, like I said, UTEP will keep it close, but there's going to be one game-changing play just because I feel like Utah is that just a winning program that those things kind of go their ways in a sense. And UTEP's not there yet, but, I mean, hell, to go from 2-7 to a bowl game, even if it's in the Mexico Bowl, I'll take that.
That's a good deal, yes. Yeah, special teams too, Natson and whatever UTEP can bring to that, that's – always a deal breaker, can make or break anything. Because that same Wyoming game, there was a special teams touchdown, defensive touchdown, and just only one offensive touchdown. So,
and I want to even say UTEP is maybe one of the I was behind when we was waiting for a presser, and they're saying that UTEP was one of only one team in the nation that has scored five different ways this year. And I'm looking at Utah State stat sheet, and I'm thinking they're in that same mold.
They are. They had defensive touchdown. Yeah, they had one game where I think they had – the Wyoming game, defense, offense, everything right there. So, yeah. they've done it. But, man, thank you so much, Alex, for joining us. So check them out, MinorRush.com. Your particular Twitter is A-Rod Minor Rush. What's the actual website's Twitter as well?
It's at SBN Minor Rush.
Okay, SBN Minor Rush. That's what I thought. You'll be tweeting from the game. You'll be at the game. Can you enter the chili cook-off? Is that just to residents only or something?
Oh, man, my cooking skills are limited to cereal, hamburger helper. Nah, so I can cook, but nah, man. We got too many post-game write-ups, previews to be cooking chili that weekend, man. Shoot, man. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun as hell.
Just bring it. Just make it some fun. All right. Yes, definitely. Thanks for hopping on with us. I think I'm joining you tomorrow night, so we'll probably chat again. So thanks for
We have a podcast tomorrow.
So check us out. I'll probably get the same stuff again. But I think we have a terrible delay. I will let you go, and we'll chat tomorrow, man. Sorry about this last minute or two. But thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, man. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
All right, Chris, you there with me?
That was fun.
That was fun. My delay, I'm getting kicked out. But that actually is lower on the list compared to the information that was brought by Alex. So thanks for all that stuff, because I think my internet connection screwed us up at the end. But he predicts so that's good for us, right? Maybe?
Could be, possibly.
That's some good stuff. The turnaround, similar to Air Force, going from a couple wins to a bowl game. I guess we need to pay very close attention to the chili cook-off. Where will the results be posted? Or is that worth an article on the website to get a early pregame prediction?
Yeah, it's maybe the prediction will come in a couple days later, but you gotta like your chances. And exactly as I saw from UTEP is a huge, they're a tough team, no doubt about it. But I think Utah State just has too many weapons, both on the offensive and defensive side, that it should take care of business.
I do as well. I do like, well, Aaron Jones, we didn't talk as much about as I wanted to, but because I've got cut off early from my lovely internet, but he averages 6 yards a carry, 1,200 yards. He's going to be the big threat, and if Aggies can make him one-dimensional and make Jamil Showers throw the ball, Aggies probably could win, like you said, almost by two touchdowns.
Yep.
So let's go to our next game. No guest for this game, but we got the Raging Cajuns, Louisiana Lafayette, taking on Nevada in the New Orleans Bowl. And this will be a home field advantage for the Raging Cajuns there. This is their fourth straight appearance in the New Orleans Bowl. They beat San Diego State a couple years ago in a wild game, if I recall, some special team shenanigans. But they've won all three, and this is their fourth game, 2 hours from campus. They have a good head coach there. Mark Hutchbeth has won four in a row. He hasn't had a losing record at all. He's won 34 games as a head coach there, I believe, nine-win seasons and eight-win season. It depends when the Nevada team shows up, I think, is how the turnout will be, right? Because they don't always show up as well as they need to be or can, because they kind of – choked the West Division down the road at the end of the season.
Yeah. So, and another fun fact, not only is it their fourth straight New Orleans Bowl, it's their fourth straight bowl appearance, period.
Yes, ever.
This is, we're getting to San Diego State style now, where, yeah, they're playing at home, but you know what, It's great because this is a team who's starting to consistently see success, and not just because there's an insane number of bowl games, but you know, it's just because this team is looking better every single year. And we've already seen Louisiana Lafayette once this year from the Boise State game, and they played on the road and they played very poorly. you thought that Terrence Broadway, who Louisiana Lafayette's fantastic quarterback, was going to find a way at least put up some points for the Raging Cajuns, but that did not happen. Boise State really has looked very, very strong. So, you know, what does Louisiana Lafayette What does Nevada have to do to beat Lafayette? Because Nevada obviously is not as strong as Boise State, and they're playing in New Orleans, which is right next to – but it's 2 hours away from Lafayette.
Here's the thing. Nevada – like I kind of joked as we started, it depends what Nevada team shows up. If it's a Nevada team that played in the second half versus Colorado State and Boise State, they're going to run away with the game. But if it's the first half of those where they turn the ball over, Cody Fajardo is not accurate versus Fresno State, then I'll give I'll give Louisiana Lafayette every opportunity to win. There's a reason why Reno is the only 1-point favorite, besides being a home crowd essentially. This bowl game, I was listening to the head coach the other day on the radio for Lafayette. The New Orleans Bowl was the seventh most attended bowl last year. So, yeah, it's the first bowl game. It isn't a big city. They do have a local team, but I guarantee when we look at the Poinsettia Bowl attendance, well, maybe with Navy there, it might be a bit skewed, but there might be maybe 30,000 at that bowl game. There will be probably that Superdome, Mercedes Superdome, will probably have almost 50,000 with all the Louisiana fans down there because they come and they fill that stadium up. But that's going to be a difference. But Fajardo has to be accurate. And Don Jackson, whoever's running the ball, has to – the Lafayette rush defense is terrible.
Oh, or absolutely.
Defense in general is terrible. If they can attack that, which they should, the one-point line seems pretty low in my opinion. That's what I think Nevada has to do. Run the ball, run their pistol, and not turn the ball. It's cliche. Run your offense and don't turn it over. But with the way the Raging Cajun defense is, that's all you have to do is be efficient, and they should be able to win this game by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, it's. But see, on the other hand, though, I feel that you said Nevada should win this game by a touchdown.
Well, if they show up like they do in the second half versus Boise and CSU, yeah.
Yeah. But my biggest fear for Nevada is they're traveling on the road. They're traveling far, and really, this Nevada team has been so schizophrenic lately. You can't. I mean, even that game versus UNLV, the first half was pretty bad. UNLV was winning that game the first half. The second half, where they just came and completely blew out UNLV. Billy Fajardo did not play a great game as a quarterback.
No, he did not.
A particular game as a running back. But, you know, this is apples and oranges we're talking.
Well, he threw 46 yards against UNLV. That's it.
I think he was either 6 for 19 or 4 for 19 or something.
Right here, he was 5 of 13, 46 yards, an interception. Did have 3 touchdowns, but still. That game, it was all Fajardo, Don Jackson, James Butler. And that's what they need to do. There is one player, I'm kind of looking up a little bit for Louisiana Lafayette. Their defensive line is a pretty good strength. Christian Ringo has 19.5 tackles for loss and 10.5 sacks. So there is some push that Lafayette can have up front, and if they can disrupt the read option or the pistol, whatever type of option play Nevada runs, that could be a way for that maybe a turnover could happen for Nevada because Fajardo is known to give up the ball a little bit, to fumble it, and there's disruption up front. They have to adjust them from the pitch or whatever they're working on. That could be a way for Lafayette to get a quick turnover, maybe even get a scoop and score.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is there to say? I mean, there's a lot to say about this game. James Butler is starting to come up at really Nevada's premier back, but, you know, still, Fajardo takes the reins.
He has to play well either throwing or running to win. In my opinion, they have a better chance. If he can have a poor throwing day, and Nevada can still win. But if he has a really bad running day, I think that – well, let me rephrase that. Yeah, he can have a bad – like the UNLV game. He can have a bad throwing game, but he has to counter that with a good running game. If he doesn't run the ball well, like say he goes 12 carries for like 20 yards, then that's a bad day for Nevada because his throwing is – he could be good, but he's also inconsistent. I think for Nevada, at least for me, they would need him to run the ball better than he throws the ball. He should be maybe – he can go 5 of 8 or 10 of 12 – and have 100 yards throwing, but he needs to have at least 75 yards himself running the ball. He has to have a good day running, I think, for them to win. Because the passing, I don't trust it that much, especially seeing the past couple games.
And somebody who Nevada really has to watch out for is Christian Ringo. And this is the Louisiana Lafayette defensive player, 10.5 sacks on the year. But what's impressive is those 10.5 sacks, that's for 80 yards. So not only is he pushing them back, he's pushing them way back.
Way back, 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 back.
Way, way, way back. He's got 34 solo tackles, which isn't, you know, a huge amount. But he averages, or he has 19 tackles per loss.
Yeah, that's half his tackles.
So half his tackles are his sacks.
Well, behind the line of scrimmage.
Behind the line, yeah, exactly.
And there is an issue. This is a 10 a.m. local kickoff, and it's 8. And that's Central Time, 11 Eastern. So it's, even though normally you'd think, oh, it's an early kickoff, Nevada will be down there a couple days before, like most people are for the bowl game. So saying it's a 8 local kickoff, that type of stuff, there's a little bit to that because it's so early, but it's not going to be as big a deal because they'll do morning practices and stuff. That's something to keep an eye on because this is a extremely early kickoff.
Absolutely.
Anything else to add? We mentioned Terrence Broadway can throw the ball pretty well. Anything else we need to mention about the Raging Cajun, the home crowd? Defensive front's pretty good, but their defense overall is not good.
Well, we could talk about their main rusher, who's pretty damn good, Elijah McGuire.
He's not bad, 1,100 yards, 8 yards a carry.
Whew. Yeah, 8 yards a carry. That's the big one. 8 yards a carry, 14 touchdowns. He averages about 97 yards a game.
Well, the Alonzo Harris has 12 touchdowns.
Number two back, actually, is Alonzo Harris, who averages almost 5 yards a game. 737 yards on the year, and he has 12 touchdowns. So he's your more smash-mouth goal line back.
And he missed a game, too, with 12 touchdowns.
Exactly. Your receiving core.
They have a receiving? No, kidding.
Oh, they're going to have. So you've got a pretty tie between James Butler and, another James Butler.
There
and
you go.
Obviously Elijah McGuire, who's also the other wide receiver. Is he a running back? He does it all. This is JGI style. Averages 13 yards, or almost 14 yards, a reception for James Butler. Averages 10 yards, and 10 yards an attempt for McGuire, 14 yards an attempt for Butler. So long passes already. Expect them. They share about 41 yards a game. Their deep threat, who actually doesn't – is that their main deep threat? Yeah. When he actually – no, he's only been healthy. I'm not sure if he's playing. Okay. So this is why we need to talk to somebody who actually knows the people. Jeremy? Okay, so anyway, well, I guess he muted himself, or I got muted. No, he left. So I guess I'll just keep on talking here. And, yeah, events.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Hey,
it did the same thing it did earlier. It just it doesn't mute me. I see everything, but for some reason it does not allow me to talk. But what I was getting at really quick before you took over, I was just a last thought, the wide receiving core for Lafayette. They throw it to everybody. Butler has 30, McGuire has 40, Al Riles 31, and Cabe Fussler has 24. So that's they may not have the best stats, but they have Broadway throws, 61%. He gets the ball to a lot of players, so that's an issue for Nevada a little, because we know their secondary can make plays, but they can give up plays. So that was my last stop in the game before I got cut off again. Lovely.
Let's talk about the actual bowl game itself, New Orleans Bowl.
That would be fun to be at.
Yeah, it would. I love New Orleans.
I've never been there, even though I grew up in Houston, a couple good 4 or 5 hours away. But by the time I was old enough to do anything, I was living in New York, living back in Texas, didn't have a car, living in Utah. Never been of the correct age to have fun in New Orleans.
You don't have to be of any age to have fun in New Orleans. There's so much. I mean, there's adult things, but there's also just lots of.
Well, you know, I mean, like, I'm not going. I'm 15 or something. You know what I mean? Like in high school, I'm not going to New Orleans.
No, no, I get it.
That's what I mean. So, but it's fun town.
Wolfpack fans, prepare for the humidity. You're not going to have something like that down there.
You know they play indoors.
I know they play indoors, but guess what? There's still humidity outside when you're practicing.
I know. But think of this. They host Super Bowls, Final Fours, national title games. They know how to throw a party. You got Mardi Gras.
Oh, absolutely.
What else do you want to go there? Here's the thing, too. If you're going to the game, the game's over by 1 o'clock. You got the whole day to hang out and do what you want.
So, So when I went to New Orleans, it was actually during the women's Final Four.
So nothing going on?
What?
So nothing going on?
Very funny. So I was actually down there for a conference, a chemistry conference. But I will tell you, you know, my hotel was about half a mile down from the stadium.
Nice.
There was so much good food. I mean, just walking around the town, yeah, you know, there's some good areas, there's some bad areas. And for fans traveling to the city, if you stay south of Bourbon Street, you're fine. And then, you know, most fans will probably want to stay south of Bourbon Street anyway, because you got Café du Monde with the beignets and coffee. You got St. Louis. Take those tours. Take those horse carriage tours around the French Quarter. A lot of great history there.
Food, amazing. History, culture, amazing. I did watch Top Chef New Orleans, so you know they have all sorts of great food. Because some of my favorite food, I can get it here where I live in Utah, but I have to go to a nice restaurant where they fly in good seafood because, as you notice, I'm a landlocked state here, like you are. Nevada's not really, unless it's a good place to go, you're not sure if you can. You know what I mean? But if you're
New Orleans, we can talk about chili cook-offs in the New Mexico Bowl. We have to be talking about Cajun food.
Yeah, I love gumbo, etouffee stuff. It's great. I can never get it good where I'm at now, but I make my own attempt to cook it myself. Doesn't work well, but check out Ray's.
Jambalaya. I'll tell you what. You want to go cheap? Eat po' boy.
Yes. Yes. Very good too.
And catfish. Oh, yeah. Catfish so po' boy. Delicious.
There's plenty of food to be had if you're there for a day.
Just give like a top 5 restaurants.
We need to make a tour guide of some sort. We need to find somebody in New Orleans and write something up.
Hell, I've been there once, and I can make a tour write up. I just signed. Love that city.
Assigned. That's you. Okay.
Assigned. Yeah. Like.
All right. Nothing else to add. There was something. Quick note, because we're gonna not talk about San Diego State for a couple days. Bob Toledo is retiring after the bowl game. Just some news there, so people care. He's out. He's done pretty good running for a San Diego State offense. Quarterbacks have been an issue by injuries past couple years, but that's the only other bit of news I wanted to mention. Do you have anything else to add? We talked about food, bowl games, excellent stuff from Alex from Minor Rush. Any other tidbits? Because we are recording the show tomorrow, with or without you. Probably without you, because you told me you're going to be gone. So.
Yeah, thanks for telling everybody that.
So, Chris will be here. I will.
No, don't tell him I'll be here now. It's something. We must see if he will. He might be out with the coaches and the showgirls at the Vegas Bowl.
Chris is going to be at the Vegas credentials. He's not. I know he's not at Colorado State practice because they're practicing at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So
and media is closed.
No, there's one open practice, but it's still like 2:30, I think, or 3 o'clock.
No, that's not the open practice though.
Oh, I must have misread that. But, yeah, Chris, since Chris may or may not be here for our Las Vegas Bowl preview, he will be at Las Vegas Bowl. We will have our man Ron Karen at the New Mexico Bowl tweeting shenanigans, having fun. Not too much fun to get in trouble, but love that. But I'm just saying. He's been to plenty of New Mexico games for us, so he knows what's going on. But I think I'm done. We've talked enough games. The UTEP I apologize to the Nevada fans because I think our preview was 82%, whereas the New Mexico Bowl was about 110%.
Nevada fans shouldn't worry. We basically gave them reasons why Nevada was going to win the game, right? And who they should be worried about for Lafayette. But we know exactly what's up for Nevada. If the good team shows up, Lafayette better be worried. If the bad team shows up, I just saw your message. So, Jeremy got lost again. So, are you back? No, nope, you're still muted. You're still muted. I've lost you. Nope. Press the unmute button. Nope, I still can't hear you. So, I'm reading your lips, but that's about it. While you go up, I guess I'll do the closing then. www.mwcconnection.com. This is Chris Hondros at Greek Padre signing out with Jeremy Miles, who's laughing at me and getting frustrated because he can't join back in. That's at Jeremy Mouse. Moss, at Jeremy Mouse. Check out our page for all the latest updates for the New Mexico Bowl and for the New Orleans Bowl, as for the rest of the bowls that we will be covering this week. So everybody, have a great evening.